Minnie's birthday was coming soon, and she was going to have a birthday party. So she invited all her friends, many of them were other children from her class at school. And Minnie sent out the invitations a couple of weeks before her birthday, and see, she's got a reply slip there. All her friends replied, yes, they all wanted to come. Oh, that's brilliant. So Minnie was really looking forward to that party with all her friends there. It's going to be great. But just to make sure, she sent a text message to them all on the morning of the party. Hi, don't forget my party today. See you later. Love, Millie. Now, I have to admit, I'm not sure whether it was her phone or her mum's. I think she's a bit young to have a smartphone. She might think something different. But perhaps she's got a phone that can just do calls or texts. Or perhaps it was mum's phone. I don't know. It doesn't matter anyway. It's the morning of the party and Millie's getting excited. Then, ping! New message. Ooh, what's this? One of Millie's friends, perhaps? Sorry, I'm going skateboarding, Tim. So Millie thinks, well, that's pathetic. He knew it was my party. He said he was coming. And my party's more fun than skateboarding. Then, bing, new message. What's this going to be? Someone saying they're coming. Sorry, we're going to see my gran, Jane. So Millie thinks, couldn't Jane see her gran tomorrow? Why does she say she was coming to the party if they were going to her gran's? Then, ping. New message. What's it going to be this time? Sorry, I'm going to buy some shorts and a water pistol, Freddy. Well, Millie thinks, now this is just beyond pathetic. We've had all that warm weather. Why didn't he buy his shorts and his water pistol 2 weeks ago? I hope the hosepipe ban includes his stupid water pistol. That's not very nice, Millie. And so it went on. Yeah. Lots more messages came in. And I must admit, I don't think much of Millie's friends. Each of them had an excuse for not coming to her party. And all the excuses ranged from a bit pathetic to totally rubbish. One was going to ride her pony. Another wanted to try something on the games console. And so on. But nothing that made it worth not going to the party. Millie was a bit fed up. Well, more than a bit fed up. And one more thing. Millie and her family were left with a problem. What to do with all the food? All that food, yeah. And the cake. What were they going to do with it? Any ideas? Party's worth of food and cake. What are you going to do? Any thoughts? What do you think? Yeah, Seb? Yeah, didn't catch that. Didn't catch that one either. All right, yes, all sorts of things you can do. I wondered about they could bring it to church today for us, but it's only a made-up story, so sorry, no cake. Maybe Millie's mum thought, well, let's look on the website and see if there's a hostel for the homeless that might like some food. I don't know. Anyhow, you can decide what they did with the food. Well, Millie's story sounds just a bit like the story Jesus told in our Bible reading. And Millie was rather fed up. It's the same with the man in Jesus' story that we heard in the Bible story. He laid on a big banquet, lots of lovely food. Now, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have telephones, let alone mobile phones at all. Rich people had servants. Of course, in the Roman Empire, the servants were often slaves. So a rich person would send out the invitations, and then on the day of the banquet, they send a servant round to tell people that the banquet was ready. So instead of the text, you actually sent a real person to come and say, the food's ready now. And remember, of course, they didn't have watches to check the time, so they needed the reminder. So for someone to send the servant back again with an excuse is really rude, just as rude as Millie's friends were sending their texts back. If you really can't come, you turn the invitation down as soon as you receive it and explain why you can't come. That's the way to do it. Well, invitations, banquets, dinner parties, they were really tricky. It's bad enough now with children's parties. If so-and-so invites you to their party, do you have to invite them back to yours? Do you? Don't you? What if you didn't really like them that much? Do you have to invite them back? What if they only had a big party to impress everyone? And what about gifts? A birthday present for the one with the birthday? Yes. That's a lot of birthday presents then if you have a big party with everyone in your class. Oh, and is there a gift for everyone who comes? Years ago it would be a party bag, but I think they're getting bigger and bigger, aren't they? So do you have to do the party bags? Can you afford to do the party bags for everyone? Could be tricky for some, couldn't it? It's a minefield, isn't it, parties? Children's parties and grown-up ones, they're all a minefield. Can be like that with adult dinner parties and so on. And it was like that in Jesus' day. If you invited someone, you'd expect them to do something in return. They got to ask you back or do some other favour. Well, in our reading, Jesus was at a dinner in someone's house. And Jesus had been telling the people there, first of all, he told them, don't grab the best seat for yourself. And then, when you're inviting people, invite the poor people who can't invite you back or do anything for you. Give for the sake of giving, not for what you get back. Now, God knows what we do, and God knows why we do it, whether it's for ourselves or for other people. Doesn't matter what other people think, because God knows and what he thinks matters. God's approval is worth a bit more, a lot more, than what somebody else might do in return. And that's where our reading starts. When one of those at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Well, that's a nice thing to say, isn't it? It would be lovely to be there when God makes everything right and to share in his kingdom. Being with Jesus forever. That sounds good. But I have a hunch the man was saying nice words, but perhaps didn't really mean it. Because Jesus comes in with this story, and his story about the banquet's really heavy. What will it be like when God puts everything right? And one picture is a banquet. We had that in our Old Testament reading. The food, yes, and more. God will have dealt with all the things that cause sorrow. So the banquet will be celebration, and in the company of lots of people, and at the heart of it, the Lord Jesus there with our Heavenly Father. And that would be grand. And it's free. In ordinary life, people often expect something in return for a favour. Of course, there are times when you have to pay for something. I went to Tesco the other day, I got some groceries and I paid some money. That's how it works. That's fine. It's when people expect a return for what should be a gift. You give someone a gift, and if they say, oh, what do you want then? You think, oh, it's not quite meant to be like that. And if we always expect something back when we give something, well, then people who can't do much in return, well, then they end up not deserving much, and it makes people who can't do much feel useless. And that's horrible, isn't it? But it's not how God's kingdom works. God loves us to be good for free. God loves to be good to us for free. Whoever we are, whatever we can do, God loves to reach out to each one of us. His invitations for all kinds of people. Trust in Jesus, know God as our Heavenly Father, and live with him at the heart of our lives. But Jesus' story is a sad reminder that some people don't want to know. In this story, the people had their invitation to the banquet, but they all made excuses. Just like Millie's party, the children all had their invitations and they couldn't be bothered. And that's a terrible thing to say, couldn't be bothered. Jesus was talking to people then who did know about God, and the danger was that they chose their own way rather than receiving God's gift, even though they should have known better. It's actually possible to be quite religious and to say all the right things, but to want it on our own terms, and then to think that God owes us. No, God doesn't owe us. We can only take what he gives as a gift. At the end, the rich man sends his servants to get the poor people in, and they wouldn't be able to pay him back. They didn't think it was for them. That's why he had to persuade them to come, because they didn't think they could pay back, so they shouldn't go. So they had to be persuaded to come. But it was for them. The rich man chose to give it. There are people who can't imagine that God would be good to them. When I was trained to be a clergyman, I worked with a vicar in a Welsh valleys town, and we visited a family where the granny said, "I couldn't come to church. I know what I've done." I've a hunch she'd been to prison for it, but I'm not sure. A few weeks later, it was the Easter holiday, and after the break, I phoned the vicar to arrange to see him in the new term. And he said, "Do you remember that family we went to see? They were in church on Easter Day." The Lord Jesus, alive again after dying for all kinds of people. Jesus carrying the things we've done and the thoughts in our heads too on the cross. God knew what that woman had done. Jesus had taken it on the cross. The free gift. What a disappointment to turn it down as though we can't be bothered. God offers forgiveness and new life. What a waste to reject his gift. But God's love won't be wasted. It's there for anyone, no matter what we've done, no matter how worthy or unworthy we feel. A gift to receive by taking Jesus at his word. A moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you offer your love freely. You gave yourself on the cross freely for all kinds of people. And how awful to think that it's possible to feel we can't be bothered. Pray you'd forgive us for those times when we couldn't be bothered. We pray for our life to point to you in a way that is your invitation, drawing other people to yourself, that we may receive your love and goodness, and receiving it, share it freely, gladly, as your gift. For your name's sake, amen.